The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Better believe it. Happy Saturday, everybody. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. It's Saturday, March the 30th, 2024. Good old 710 KNUS. 65 the high tomorrow. Easter Sunday, 63. Tomorrow is Easter. A lot to talk about. 303-696-1971. Beginning with, are you a double hater? I am, and it's pretty interesting to find yourself sitting here with saying, I hate them both. Biden and Trump have, again, looked at their 2024 general election numbers with high unfavorable ratings. The election should be determined by double haters. Apparently, from my reading, a fifth of the country, voting age people, are double haters. Voters who view both candidates in a negative aspect. In 2016, Donald Trump won among double haters. Most voter behavior literature that's out there that's acceptable is that people so disliked Hillary Clinton that they voted for Donald Trump. 4 years later, it was Biden who won the group. And President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump have one thing in common. They're both unpopular headed into the 24 election. I know there are people in the audience that adore Donald Trump, and there are people in the audience that adore Joe Biden. But it's a significant change of voters for Biden, who October 2020 had a 53% favorability rating among likely voters, and that's according to New York Times, a college poll. Now Biden's favorability among likely voters sits about 41%. So what does that mean ahead of November? Well, should Biden and Trump emerge, which apparently they both will, as the nominees of their parties, it is that one-fifth. Now, is that you? It's certainly me, 303-696-1971. And double haters will decide, according to some people that you can read, and I think maybe they're down to this, if Joe Biden wants to squeeze out a polling deficit, he's going to need to secure the votes of some people who don't like him very much. The good news is many of those same voters, i.e., don't like former Donald Trump, President Donald Trump either. This is the most important group in the 2024 election. They're being dubbed double haters, and double haters, voters who are unsatisfied with both Trump and Biden, and make up roughly one-fifth of the electorate. Recent polls, and they're pretty stable ones, all report the same number, about 19%. That's a big chunk of the race that's going to be tight. Demographically, the group resembles the general elections. There's slightly younger, more Hispanic, also equal number of Democrats and Repubs. Double haters. Is it you? 303-696-1971. We're out of the box with Brian. Brian, you're on the radio show. It's Saturday. Good morning.
Hey, Pete, good topic. But, you know, this election, we need to focus, and it just comes down to policy. If you're a hater, great. You're always going to hate Trump if you're a hater of Trump. If you're a hater of Biden, you're always going to be a hater of Biden. I don't think you're going to be swayed in any direction. So now we have to laser focus on policy. And if we're going to hate a candidate over hating the opponent's policy, then you're just not thinking straight.
No, that isn't the question. I mean, hold on. This isn't the question. The reality deals from the bottom of the deck. Both of these men have high unfavorable ratings. Now, I love your calls, and you're a Trump guy, and that's great. But there are other guys that are Biden guys. And so, you know, let that go too. The question is, a huge chunk of what's likely to be very, very tight doesn't like either candidate. Generally, people vote against somebody as opposed to for somebody. That's provable in terms of how people talk about voting. They so disliked Hillary that they voted for Donald Trump. So what do you do with the double hater?
Well, I think my assumption is they probably stay home. And it's a net wash because Democrats stay home and Republicans stay home. They don't want anything to do with this because I think most people vote. I don't know. I think most people vote for something.
No, they don't. The other way around.
The other way around?
Yeah, the evidence is they vote against somebody or something.
I think Trump might have changed that. I really do. I think he might. I think that was typically what it was. Kennedy, they voted for something. They didn't vote against.
No,
they voted for, civil rights. They voted for youth. They voted for science. They voted for lots of things he was coming in and promising people.
Now, they didn't like Nixon. Jack Kennedy was a fresh face and all that went with it. But Nixon, remember Tricky Dick. I mean, Nixon was, and by the way, that was a tight, if not Nixon won, when Chicago.
There were some nefarious things going on there as well.
So it wasn't.
The old man Kennedy pulled some levers there.
The
we
mob.
All know that.
It was the mob.
He was in with the mob.
But let me come back full circle. That was not voting for or against. In other words, the Nixon people, the supporters of Nixon were supporters of Nixon. The people who loved Jack Kennedy also hated Richard Nixon. I realize that comes out like doublespeak, but it's how it played out. So now what? And by the way, the double haters vote. And they vote they vote what's called down ballot. Here's one for you. RFK Jr., who does he hurt? Joe Biden or does he hurt Donald Trump?
Gosh, probably. That's a tough question. But I look back to my coworkers and I look back to my father-in-law who detests Trump. He just does. But he sits back and he looks at this and he's being practical. Are you saying
you're still selling it? Don't sell it. You have to deal with the topic. You're selling Trump.
He's still going to vote for Trump even though he hates the guy because he's sitting back going,
okay,
this transforming of our country into
you're selling. What I'm asking
is that's what haters are looking at. If they hate each candidate, what is going to tip them to one side or the other?
That's why it's a great question.
Well, that's why I'm making the argument.
No, you're selling it, but it's cool.
Well, Pete, who's going to sit back and vote for open borders?
What I'm saying, once again, you're trying to sell it. I understand what you're saying, but the point of it is deal with the question itself. We have people called double haters who do not intend to do what? I appreciate the call as always. We start with Francis. Francis, you're next. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
I'm really good, man. Thank you.
That's good. Hey, I think I'm one of the original double haters, but I think it started back in the Hillary Trump vote. And I hate these votes in the negative. That's what I hate. There was no way I could possibly pull the lever for Hillary. I held my nose and voted for Trump.
There it is.
He would kind of improve and learn on the job. And the last election, same problem, is that how do you vote for Biden and how do you vote for Trump? And my answer was, at last election, I didn't vote for either. But I did vote down ballot. You're darn right about that.
No, that's what happens. Or they do vote.
You know. Right. Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. I think that, okay, so I decided, and I did this effective last Sunday, Selection Sunday. I said, here's the deal. I'm going to put a column of Trump negatives and on another column of Biden negatives, and I'm going to total them up. And if I can pick a candidate with fewer negatives on election day, then I guess since we're voting in the negative, that's my only option. And I'll tell you right now, so far, I have to figure out because I think I'm going to start putting like a negative column mark in Biden, because I think Biden is just going to go hide from now to the election. I don't think he's going to do anything. So like every month he hides, or every 2 weeks he hides, and does nothing. So he can't step on his own, you know what, and speaking or saying something stupid. I got to put a negative in there, because I got to figure he isn't getting better with age. And, you know, but if you could.
Trump isn't the same guy that ran in 16. He's not the man that ran in 16.
No, correct.
So he's a one-term ex-president. And, and now everything that comes with that. And in fact,
think of what would have happened if he just would have not been a complete idiot.
Yes.
The last 3.5 years.
Yes.
This would have been a going away victory.
But he can't.
He couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah, it's impossible. And if anything, he's gotten far worse. So,
he's disintegrated in my eyes by a fair amount.
So what do you do?
Well, I'm not hopeful that I'm going to be casting a vote for president. Right now because I just can't. I mean, it's not, I don't want to sound too crass here, but when you have two turds of
absolutely,
back up the toilet bowl,
absolutely,
I grab the plunger. I don't pick which turd I like better.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
You know, it's. And honestly, these two people, I mean, I can't. They shouldn't be running for dog catcher.
Well,
they're impossible.
From my reading, the 2016 that election, there was only 3% double haters, and it's a new applied term. Guess what the number is today? It's between,
what did you say, about 20%?
Between 18.5% and 19% of double haters. Now, in 2016 for Trump, or they believe now, that'd be like a fifth of voters are double haters. Many of them, broke from Trump, or broke, and many, well, I was never a Biden guy, so, but Donald Trump isn't the same candidate he was in 16, and what are they going to do? And what's going to happen?
I don't know, man.
It's a tough one.
You know, I honestly think that, I was listening to the last caller. And I like him. He's a good guy. You can hear his voice. What I heard was this, it seemed to me, is that there's kind of a bit of denial on the part of the Trump, kind of cult, I'm going to call them. But that they think that somehow the haters are going to just find some sort of a reason to vote for Trump. And I'm not confident that that's going to happen. I just am not. I think that he provides as many reasons to not vote for him as to vote for him. And I think if people could take off those Trump glasses a little bit, they would see that. And I honestly think that's part of what led us to the election denying nonsense.
Well,
still live with, because they couldn't understand it.
No, all of that begins when Donald Trump is told he's probably not going to win. And that's as early as June of that year that he's told, and that's when they begin to say internally it's going to be stolen from us, and that was the liftoff. But my good personal friend John Eastman, we're going to talk about that next hour. John Eastman, who disbarred, and he's still going to be RICO'd in Georgia, and he was the brains in the operation. He really was the brains, and that's that moment you can look at Pence and be proud of Pence because he stood the line. But Trump asked Pence to act illegally and throw out the results of the election, something that Congress acting as on a whole could do. But the vice president is a ceremonial role, as we know, in the electoral vote count. And a pack of Trump supporters, spurred on by Donald Trump and certainly by John Eastman and all of the above. Punching cops.
That last election, the deniers, they just can't get their heads around the fact that people, there were, you'd hear people talk on the radio like, I can't believe some 80 million people voted for Joe Biden.
Believe it.
And the answer is 80 million people didn't vote for Joe Biden. Some section of that voted for him, but a huge section of that voted against Trump.
There you are.
And that's what you got to get your head around if you're a Trump supporter.
Well,
you nominated the one candidate who could lose to Joe Biden.
We will see.
A fact.
I mean, look, the White House is up for grabs. There's no question of that. But the double hater, who looks like a fifth of potential voters, and they hate them both. That's why they're dubbed the double haters. As always, good call, 303-696-1971. Dick Wadhams will join us. And the judges recommended the ex-Trump election lawyer, John Eastman, be disbarred. I'm still waiting for apologies. You think that somebody's going to write something or go on the radio and say, gee, we were sorry, Peter, that your family got death-threatened and everything that went with it for calling this guy? People who set that up. That was a moment, wasn't it? 65 will be the high. I expect that. I'm sorry, call any moment. Chance of snow tomorrow, 63. It's Easter Sunday. One of the things that's really interesting, local news, they keep calling it the holiday. I have not, you know, the weather forecasters for the holiday. No one says Easter. They don't say the E word. The double haters. All right, guys, generally we talk about medicine and effective treatments for erectile dysfunction, other guys' sexual health issues. I'm telling you, me, the one you love, if you're like most guys and you don't whatever you can do to make a relationship work, if you're suffering with ED, impacts the condition it's likely having on you and on your partner. Living proof, Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic has served the Front Range of Colorado for nearly a decade, successfully treated tens of thousands of men. Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic, these are the good guys. I mean, I get to know them. Schedule a consultation with Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic today. Your initial visit, it's $99, includes a medical consultation, a licensed medical provider. I've gotten to know these guys. Good guys. A T, a PSA test, and medically advised a test dose. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit's free. Five locations now. Colorado here, they got Fort Collins, they got North Denver, they got Central Denver, we got Castle Rock, Colorado Springs. Stop dealing with the lack of confidence that ED brings. Call them, 720-440-7900. Make the call, 720-440-7900, 720-440-7900. It's like the best. Or call Rocky Mountain, or look at RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com. Tell them Peter Boyle sent you. Why don't we do a turn here and come back and then pick up on the other side. Brady Louie, it's Saturday morning, everyone, March the 30th. Tomorrow's Easter, 65 the high today, 63 tomorrow. We have Jamline, 710 KNUS. Well, this is another part of it. Selling Bibles. Lee Greenwood and Donald Trump selling Bibles. What do you do with that? 710 KNUS on a Saturday morning, 65 will be the high. Tomorrow, Sunday, is Easter. I'm Peter Boyles. This is 710 KNUS. Our lines are full, but let me do this. My health has changed for the much better this last year, and one of the factors in it is going to go to the chambers, as we call it, the tank, the HBOT. My daughter's with us, and Dr. Jeff is with us, and our friends at HBOT Spa. First of all, doctor, good morning. Thank you for coming back up on the show.
Good morning, Peter.
And Shan, good morning, man. Thanks for coming back up as well. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you both.
Yeah, so we have both gone into the breathing pure oxygen, pressurized chamber, the high oxygen environment, enhancing healing by boosting oxygen delivery to tissues, reducing inflammation, and promoting recovery from various conditions. Doctor, all the weeks I've been with you, how was that for a pitch?
that was on point, Peter.
Yeah.
And good to hear from you as well, Shannon.
Thank you, too.
Yeah, so the big thing is with the experience is what I want to talk about today. So hyperbaric oxygen chambers, we've talked about the benefit, but what you're going to experience is, I think you've touched on my staff and the environment at my office, but it's one of the most relaxing modalities, I think, on the market, in the sense that for an hour you have peace and quiet and you get to lay down, and all benefits that we've discussed, from anti-inflammation to less fatigue, to better cognitive function is a result of it. And it's my favorite hour out of the day, typically. And right now we have a heck of a promotion going on until about the end of the month, and then we'll revisit our promotions. But Peter, if you want to talk about that, I think we might also want to let you know for Easter, we're applying any of the funds of the promotion towards a treatment plan or a membership if you were to sign up during those first 2 weeks.
Oh, doctor. Well, I'll give it to my daughter, honey, sell it. And I've been busy reading the benefits of oxygen therapy. Shan, one for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, as I have said, you know, this has been a total game changer with my recovery. I've been dealing with horrible health issues for 20 years, and we've now spent 74 hours in the hyperbaric chamber, and it's restored my energy. I'm healing in areas I never thought would heal. My skin looks incredible. There's new collagen. When I see people I haven't seen for years, they can't believe how good and youthful I look. And I just can't encourage people enough to look into this, because had I known, you know, even 5 years ago about this, I would have been all over it. But I'm just grateful that we can work with the doctor and go and see his great staff every day. And like he said, it's that 1 hour of the day he looks forward to. Same with me. You can take your phone in there. I watch Netflix. I do work. I took a nap yesterday. It's just incredible. And I can't say enough great things about how much this has changed my life and yours, Dad, and how much it's helped with your health.
And I'm reading The Gaudy Wars. That's the book I'm reading in the tank right now. 303-353-9623. 303-353-9623. And Dr. Jeff, what's the deal for the week?
I'm going to be answering the phones for the next hour or so. We'll get your information. I'm happy to take some time to call patients back and discuss their case in further detail today as a pre-consult, and see about getting you on the schedule to take advantage of our promotion for first 2 weeks for $200. You can come in up to 10 times, and if you sign up for treatment, it is going to go towards the cost of your treatment plan if we sign up in those first 2 weeks. So happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah.
And I look forward to speaking with you, from autoimmune disorders and diabetes, concussions, all the way to just wellness living. Come see how this modality can help change your life.
The doctor's there right now, 303-353-9623. Speak to him. Get part of this. And Shan's getting on the back of my motorcycle. We're going to go to brunch tomorrow. That's a father-daughter. Honey, I'll see you in a little bit. Doctor, as always, talk to you this week. Thanks, you guys.
Happy Easter.
Thank you, guys.
Dr. Happy Jeff. Easter.
Thank you. All right, 303-696-1971. They're called double haters. And it's not a term that I invented. It's a term that's, again, it's recent to me, but I've been reading about it. Double haters, an important group for multiple election cycles. And this year, both candidates' favorability ratings have plummeted. The number of voters who dislike both major party candidates may surpass the previous high water mark in 2016. Back then, Donald Trump won a bigger share of the double haters than Hillary Clinton. He outperformed her by 17 percentage points amongst the group that made up 18% of the electorate. And we always said, or at least the reading suggests, that the reason Donald Trump won is because people so disliked Hillary Clinton. Now, Biden turns the tables around in 2020, wins the group by 15 percentage points. Granted, they made up about 3% of the electorate then, according to the exit polling. But that was enough. So, more importantly, double haters are this volatile group of people, and I certainly feel part of it, willing to change their minds up until the very last minute. Pollsters say, in an era of staunch party loyalty that we're watching today, the outliers are capable of switching on a news cycle. But double haters who say they will vote third party, that's RFK. That makes no sense either. So when I go back to the calls, all right, Lou's given the word. All right, we go to Steve on line one. Steve, thank you for waiting. Good morning. You're on the show.
Doctor, I'm very privileged to talk to you. Hope you're well.
I am.
So, you know, your buddy was in the news. I had the call, and Mr. Eastman, and he's just one of many lawyers that have lost everything in this Trump debacle. You've got Jen Ellis. You've got the Kraken.
Yep.
You've got Rudy.
Yep.
You're going to have Jeffrey Clark.
Yep.
And, you know, careers destroyed, losing their law license,
yep.
everything like that. The other interesting thing is, as you know, Eastman's co-counsel for the Republicans in this lawsuit, there's thing, you know, on the closed-out primary. And
mm-hmm.
all. Now, the judge out there recommended his disbarment, so he's not officially blocked out.
He will be.
It's a matter of time.
He will
exactly.
be. Yeah.
And once he is, don't you think for a minute that the, you know, Judge Kane, I have some knowledge of it, that they're not going to just let Eastman just go.
No.
You know, because if he's disbarred in one place, you've got an obligation to inform the court wherever you're at.
Well, he also faces the RICO in Georgia.
He could be. What do you think of that? I think it's viable.
Oh, so I do too.
You were all over the Willard thing.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness.
No, he's Eastman, and again, for the people that don't know the story, I got set up to have a phone call with him, and he was going to prove to me that the election was stolen. And his proof that he told me was signed affidavits. And I said to him, I said, and I was very polite, I said I could sign an affidavit that I saw Bigfoot this morning. And he made some remarks and hung up on me. And
I listened to that call,
well,
and I've talked to him before.
It was,
and you know, the thing is, you almost know it was a setup, because once you said Bigfoot, he just snapped.
Yeah, well, whatever the reasons were, and then there was, they wanted a rematch, and then, I mean, there was so many nefarious behind-the-scenes crap that went on, but if it wasn't for a sheriff in a certain county who tracked down some of these people for me, not for me, but for what was being said to my family about my family, and that's when the rubber hit the road, and John Eastman will be disbarred, and he also faces a RICO in Georgia. But what I'm expecting, winky winky, is those on-air apologies, or a written apology, or a newspaper apology, or a video YouTube apology, or just a text message to the show. Hey, Peter, I'm sorry I threatened you. Hey, Peter, I'm sorry I threatened your family. Hey, Peter, I'm sorry your family got threatened. Hey, Peter, I'm sorry I was in the parking lot. I'm waiting for those phones. Do you think I'm going to hear of those phones? Do you think I'm going to get those calls?
No. And a lot of those people allowed it. But I want to say one more thing before I go. You're going to have Dick Wadhams on, and
yeah.
I know how much you love Reagan. I listened to Reagan's speech, the one he gave at the D-Day,
mm-hmm.
40-year, the Point to Hawk
yep.
speech. And Reagan on so many issues would not even recognize the Republican Party today.
And neither would Jack Kennedy recognize, or would the Democrats recognize Jack Kennedy?
Correct. I understand.
The Democratic Party in America today is a socialist workers' party. It really is. With, you know, and they're a Trotskyist organization almost, and the Republican Party, I have no idea what the hell they are. And that brings you to the double haters. And there's where I find myself. I find myself seeing, well, this quasi-Trotskyist party, and then these people that are able to help destroy the Constitution, and then to continue to support the people who attempted to do it. So call me, you know, call the term, use the term double hater, but boy, sure fits, doesn't it?
Well, not for me, and I'm going to edge you to go back to your Pennsylvania FDR roots.
Yeah, but this guy's not FDR. No stretch.
No, I know that.
No
I
stretch. Thanks.
All righty.
Good call.
Take care.
303-696-1971. Checking in with Lou. We're in good shape here. What? All right, we're good. Lou says we're good. All right, we go to Mike. There's two lines open, 303-696-1971. Tomorrow's Easter. Mike, you're on the show. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Peter. I've been trying to get something done this morning. First, Caldera got me all riled up about Ukraine.
I heard that.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself. I had to call in. I have stuff to do here, and now you got me going. But I'm not going to harangue you in the same way. In reference to your topic, hate's a pretty strong word, but boy, I'll tell you what, I strongly dislike both these candidates. Mm-hmm. And it's ludicrous, Peter. We've got an 82-year-old man that's mentally and physically infirm that were one of the candidates for the presidency. The other candidate is the modern-day P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
And, you know, hey, let's sell some Bibles. You know, let's see what we can do there, you know.
Sell some perfume and let's sell some tennis shoes.
Yeah. I just got done reading Isaacson's biography of Elon Musk.
What did you think? I read that as well.
Yeah, in fact, you're the guy that kind of recommended it. I finally bought it and read it. I really liked it.
Oh.
As far as a person, I learned that, you know, more about him as far as, you know, he has Asperger's mm-hmm. syndrome, supposedly. But boy, do I admire his work ethic, his inventiveness, his way to get things done. After reading that, I'm going, wow, we could use a couple hundred thousand more of those people here in this country.
Oh, indeed. You know? Indeed.
Can I stop you?
What did you think about his father? How much impact do you think his father, remember he sent them to they were like gladiator academies in South Africa, would send him and his brother. Yeah. I mean, what impact do you think his father's name is Errol? And then the part where they're going to try and patch it up, they go to the lunch and the adopted daughter's pregnant. I mean, that stuff's insane. But his father? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, you got me laughing there. I think like any son, he'll be grappling with his father for the rest of his life. I mean, our fathers affect us in great ways. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if Errol had some kind of Asperger's. Asperger's is highly inheritable.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting, too, that Asperger's is transgender people tend to have mm-hmm. that syndrome quite a bit. And one of Elon's kids is fully transgender and has rejected him totally.
Yes, it is. How many children does he have?
About 10, I think.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah.
But,
you know, we're talking about Musk, of course, and there's this incredible, lengthy, by the way, biography on the market of his life. And there are these moments that he's astounding. And there's moments that you have no idea why he behaves like he behaves.
He will be all over the map, I think, for the rest of his life. You
yes.
know, we, who knows what to expect from him. But he seems to be focused mainly on doing things.
Yes.
You know, actually trying to do things. And I found the biography fascinating. I found it fascinating about, the family history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be watching it play out here on.
There's this great line that says, if career politicians are the problem, how in the hell can they be the answer? I mean, if we think about that, if career politicians are our problem, how can they be the answer? And would you allow Musk to run this country?
I don't want any one person running the country.
No, I understand, but it's a talk radio hypothetic.
Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
He scares me a little bit because he can be all over the map.
Yeah.
But I think he could set an example of where we need to go as a country. We need to get to work. We need to get focused on something, building something, making something, doing something. We are all over the map, Peter. It astounds me. We can't seem to we can't even get a budget passed. No. We can't focus on securing our border.
No.
We can't figure out whether we want to run the world or, you know, that it just. Anyways, I'm still trying to cut down.
When I heard the call, it was like, and I echo you, you know, the United States since 1945 has a habit of meddling around in the world. The results have rarely been pretty. They've been a disaster. They've been horrible for the United States' foreign policy that really simply is a, as someone said, the running dog for the multinational corporations. And everybody's now worried about China. Who built China? American multinationals built China.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the China thing, the Taiwan thing, it's really about the Taiwan semiconductor chip factory.
Oh, sure. Of course.
It's the preeminent one in the world. They have a lock on the chips that are needed for everything from AI to high-speed computing.
Yes.
China wants that, but guess what? So do we. And so that's what the fight's really about. It's not about
What's the difference between a high-speed chip and a barrel of oil? Nothing. And places in the world where you know oil is, those become the places that we must protect. And generally it backfires like almost in every case, it blows up in your face. It blows up in the face of this country. And frankly, I'm through with all of it.
I'm through with all of it, too. And that's why I go back to Musk again. I say,
all right,
put these people to work. We could get our own chip factory here in America. I realize we're building some now in Phoenix and Ohio, but we could do that. And be strong and independent and wouldn't have to meddle in all these other places.
No.
We've got oil. We've got resources here. We can take care of ourselves.
When the multinational moves and the steel mills go, and principally they go because, number one, there's no such thing as a union. Number two, there's no such thing as the EPA. You go down a list of things, and they, in spite of the PRC, the People's Republic, they're really it's quasi fascist. It's you get into the mode where the state and the factory are the same outfit, and you can produce steel, you can make steel. Now the American steelworker loses his or her job, all the things that go with it, but the multinational steelmaker gets a better price at the cost of the country. I'm on my second FDR book, and in the last 3 weeks, this is about FDR putting his cabinet together. But the call that goes out of the arsenal of democracy, the arsenal, and Henry Ford's got his own set of problems, but Andrew Mellon and these guys that were controlling coal mines and steel factories, and they were sitting feral. And when it begins in Europe, and he brings it up, and it's there. Now, could we do that today? I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. So
we're just fighting with ourselves endlessly.
Well, you know, we've come to a point where I think all empires do, and all empires fail. And this country turned empire, and we are on the road as Rome or, all empires, the Persians, the Mongols, you get out a list of things, the French, the British, they fail. Empires fail. And we are an empire that is doing internally what the other empires did as well. And so I look at this stuff and I think, well, history is this great teacher. Unfortunately, do you think that George Bush cracked a book on the Soviets in Afghanistan where he decided to invade? Even just cracked a book?
No, I don't. He's not a historical person.
No, just read it. Just read it. Just sat down and said, before we pull this stunt, and before, do you think Do you think Lyndon Johnson read anything about the history of Southeast Asia?
No, and you know, going back to your thing about professional politicians, yeah, they're not, you know, they're there to get elected again. They're not there to read history necessarily or to know anything. It's how to win the next election.
Sure. And if they are the problem, which clearly they are, how can more of them be the answer to the problem?
And they're not.
And they're not.
And you know, and Peter, I've been voting consistently third-party candidates. I can't go with the Republicans and the Democrats anymore. Right. They don't put candidates up that have anything to do with reality or my views. And it's like, just tell everybody, you know, we're going to get more of this until we stop voting for them, one or the other.
And if career politicians, who Joe Biden is, if they are the problem, how can they be the answer? Take care of yourself.
All right,
man.
All right.
303-696-1971. We just a moment ago had the doc on talking about HBOT. He's there. The 303-353-9623. I know it's a busy weekend, but talk to the doctor now. 303-353-9623 and get yourself in one of these HBOTs. Get yourself inside and give it a try and see how much better you feel. From pro athletes to stay-at-home moms. 303-353-9623. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Get a quick drop with Dick Wadhams. And we'll continue on this notion of a double hater. And they are out there. And I am, indeed, I think I'm part and parcel. And you look at this, and millions of Americans don't want either one. And they become what's being dubbed now the double haters. Also, how do you feel about Donald Trump selling Bibles? I thought that was interesting as well. What's this? Quit breathing through your nose. This is from Eric. Eric, it wasn't me. He's a caller. It wasn't me. It's worth saying good morning. 710 KNUS. Calitran, I listened to Jeff Hunt talk about this, and it's an amino acid. And it increases your serotonin levels for better quality sleep and weight loss, safe and natural. That's amazing. I miss talk radio. This stuff, Calitran, doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds. 100% safe and stimulant free, and 86% success rate with weight loss. Every once daily dose at bedtime, pills or liquid form. It's simple. It's convenient. The guys that are taking it are loving it. Medical staff is available and answer your questions, help you with your weight loss journey. And Calitran's good for you and giving your body back and giving it what it needs. 100% safe. Guys that are on it are talking and praising it, even though if you're on meds, because there's no drugs or stimulants, and that's what makes Calitran so different. Phone orders at 833-TOP-LOSS. 833-TOP-LOSS, or log on to toploss.com. 833-TOP-LOSS, their Top Loss. 303-696-1971. It is 946, 14 before the hour. Now do we break? Okay. Lou calls it. We break now. Lines are open. 303-696. Tomorrow is Easter. 303-696-1971. Are you a double hater? Don't like either one. You don't like Donald Trump. You don't like Joe Biden. A double hater. 17, 18, 19% of American potential voters are double haters. Are you one? 710 KNUS. Saturday morning, everyone. 65 will be the high. 63 on Sunday. 45 on Monday. To the wall. This is maybe the smartest, best text of the last couple of weeks' shows. How would the Christians feel if Donald J. Trump sold the Quran, the Torah, Taoism, Buddha, or Hindu? I'm sure they'd be up in arms. How would Christians feel if DJT sold the Torah, the Quran, Taoism, Buddha, Hindu? We go to Gary. Gary, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. I don't think whether it's Biden or Trump, I don't think either one will be the end of empire in their 4 years. So I'm not too concerned about that. But the reason why I'm hoping that Biden gets elected is because I vote for the law and order. And I want to see Donald Trump be subject to all of these trials, and so that we can see the outcome, because we all know that they're trying to push these beyond the election and hoping he gets elected so that he can make them go away. And I'm looking forward to watching the drama of Trump having to face the judicial system just like the rest of us would have to, and also to have to pay his lawyers out of his own pockets.
You said a bunch of things. One, end of empire is a long slide. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think if you look back at the last 40 years, you'll see that slide. Number two, Trump faces the boy. He's got a trial beginning on the which is his next trial he's facing. Is it Stormy Daniels? Is that the next one?
Yeah, it is. But he'll be able to push that until he's elected, and then they'll end that trial because you can't have even that kind of a trial.
Why do I think that trial is scheduled to start in April? Don't hold me to that.
No, it is. It is, Peter.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough one. I've read enough about that one. The real question there isn't whether or not he cheated on his wife. The question is, did they take campaign funds and pay her hush money? And I'm still interested to see the outcome of what was happening with the National Enquirer. And did they pay to keep it out of the Enquirer? And those are the questions that, and they speak about corruption on so many levels. But in terms of him having sex with her, that's between he and his wife. But it's interesting to see these people sell the moral high ground, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's small potatoes. The big ones are the document case and the other cases with
Georgia.
Trump is trying to push beyond the election, hoping he gets elected. And I'm just praying that he doesn't get elected and he has to face the law and pay for his own lawyers.
Well, again, you know, those series of questions are all wrapped up into one big ball. But the RICO trial is going to be something in Georgia, and that's where my close personal friend John Eastman has also been RICO'd. And that will be the next step in Eastman's fall. But Eastman is the principal constitutional usurper behind what happened in January. It's he, Rudolph Giuliani, and others. But
Did you see that they took Eastman's license?
Yes. Well, they haven't taken his license yet. They've recommended it, which is as good as gone. But then the next one will be the RICO trial.
And with Eastman. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
With Eastman, the beneficiaries of him losing his license are the attorneys that are going to base. When he loses his license, there are certain attorneys that are going to let him do all the work, and they're going to jump on board and be the official attorney and get paid for the work that he does.
Well, what he did do, in the judge's opinion that I read, is the false theories of election fraud on Donald Trump's behalf. And Eastman failed, this is from the judge, Eastman failed to uphold his primary duty of honesty. He breached his ethical obligations by presenting falsehoods to bolster his legal arguments. In other words, he lied. The judge also rejected Eastman's efforts to argue, and again, I'm reading this, that he believed lies about election fraud were true. And they, you know, that's one of their out cards they're going to try. The attorney for Eastman, a guy named Randy Miller, and he talked, and he attacked the bar, which of course is pretty, you know, what else did you expect? But Eastman and my very quick, short amount of time with John Eastman led to a lot of really big problems for my family, and for calling him on his crap. And he kept talking about how he had affidavits. Affidavits are meaningless in courtrooms. If I sign an affidavit that said I saw Gary shoot his wife, it's meaningless. It's meaningless.
Or if you saw Bigfoot.
And I told him, I said, I'd sign one that I saw Bigfoot, and then he hung up. He knew I had him. And that's really, I mean, I someday we'll write the book about what happened in the aftermath, but I had him. And I didn't know that I had him. I had him on that. And about 2 days later, it was clear to me I had him. Signing an affidavits are meaningless. And if he said
that right,
ma'am, he had countless affidavits. So what? Yeah. And what we really found out was he was usurping the Constitution. And so, anyhow.
Well, thanks for the topic, right, Peter. And I'm looking forward to your interview with Dick Wilde.
Here it comes. All right. Wow, we got a bunch of text messaging to read. The double haters, are you one? Dick's going to come on. Yeah, it was interesting this week. I didn't get any, hey, Peter, I'm sorry calls. Judge recommends ex-Trump election lawyer John Eastman be disbarred. We'll talk about it after this on 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.